Create Art Podcast. Commentary: Tapping into your creative child. Hello, friend. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I bring my 20 plus years of experience in art and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Now, do you remember when you were a kid, maybe your parents put your drawings or school art on the fridge? How awesome did you feel when that happened? Now, look around at your house. Where's the artwork? Why aren't you putting your art around your house? Do you think that perhaps your stuff is no good? You know, it's not worth putting on your fridge? Or are you suffering from imposter syndrome? Well, there's probably a reason for that. You're being too critical about your work. And maybe that's what's stopping you from enhancing your living space and creating art for yourself. Now, recently, I added the phrase, go create art for somebody you love, yourself, for a reason. You need to love yourself and promote yourself to yourself first before anyone else is going to promote your work or talk about it. And today, I'm going to help you connect with that inner child whose artwork was displayed lovingly on the fridge in a place of prominence in your house. So I'm a lucky guy. You know, I have twins who are, shall I say, artistic. They're also in public school and of a certain age. And yes, their artwork is on our walls and on our fridge. There is a lot of pride going on in my house, and I'm encouraging my kids to keep making things all the time. Now, why is that? Well, I want them to be creative, imaginative when they get older and, you know, not lose that fresh look at the world that they have right now. Now me, I'm a certain age, the oldest person in the house by many years, and I've seen a great deal in the world that is depressing. However, for me to get out of that depression, I create, and that helps me out. Now, I do a lot of different types of art, namely, you know, writing, painting, music, and crafts. These help me out of my depressive moments and help me when I battle against my imposter syndrome. I make sure to put that work up on walls to remind me that I am a creative person. And also I make, you know, gifts for my wife and kids all the time. And my wife does those as well. And we put those works on the wall. And we have no plans on starting a gallery, but when we have friends over, they instantly see that this is a house of artists. So why do we put these works of art on our walls? Well, simply put, we want our kids to be proud of their work and encourage them to keep creating. We also want to instill in them that creating a gift is more personal than buying a gift. It may not be cheap or easy to just, you know, fire off a gift card, but it means more to the receiver of the gift. We make it a big point to put those works up and point them out from time to time in order to help build their self-esteem. This also inspires us adults in the house to put our works up on the wall and praise each other for these works. If you walk into our house, you have no choice but to be inspired, podcast or not. Now, what happens when you don't have kids to make that push for creativity? Well, you can still tap into that inner child and view the world with fresh perspectives. Now, what's their secret for having those fresh eyes? The answer is simple and yet very complex. They don't judge the work. They just do it. My kids aren't worried about judgment from adults or other people. They do know to say if they don't like a piece and why they don't like it, but it's usually pretty rare because, well, they have no preconceived notions about what art is. Kids aren't worried about how the market will accept the work or, you know, how much research they're going to have to do into selling it. Kids just make art and let it be. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying just put anything you want down on a canvas and call it art. I'm not saying not to do that either. But what I am saying is that we need to get back that feeling of just creating art and not worrying about what the audience would like to see. Now, when you are in the initial stages of your work, don't allow yourself to judge the work at that time. Just You know, go ahead and create. And later on, when you were close to being done, or you're at a point where you need to make a change that, you know, if you don't make it at that point, you can't fix it, then you can bring the judgment in. But just enough to keep you on track. Hold off on judging your work as long as possible. And then when the time is right, then you can make the changes you need in order to make your work approachable by your audience. My next point here is to allow yourself to create work that others will never see. Give yourself permission to make a mess and paint like a four-year-old on crack, as I often say of my paintings. There are volumes of poems that I consider practice poems, and there are several, you know, starts for novels that will never be finished, and that's okay. It's because I'm practicing that I can create work that people will enjoy. I've never had a work that turned out perfectly on the first go. For me, I've got to practice all the time. And, you know, that's what I do at poetry readings that I attend and perform at. You know, people come up and say how brave I am with my work because my subject matter is usually very personal. But for me, it's not bravery, it's practice. Because at that point, I'm listening to my audience and I adjust the poem depending on how the audience responded to it. Bravery for me comes when I read a poem that I had no intention of letting anyone else hear and risk the audience's reception of the piece. And sometimes what I think sucks connects with a person in the audience. Now, sometimes your practice pieces will resonate with your audience more so than your well-thought-out pieces. Allow your fans to see what you have and let them make the decision. Trust your audience. They know what they like, and they're going to let you know as well. Now, my last point into tapping into your creative child for inspiration is that I truly believe we're all connected in some fashion. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to go all woo-woo here on you, but I feel like there's a collective unconsciousness that we all can tap into if needed and use the stored knowledge and experiences of everyone on the planet. Now, when we allow ourselves to be open to inspiration from any source, it will come. Again, we just need to be open to it. Also, we need to have short memories. You know, I remember my parents rarely put artwork on the fridge because they didn't want all the clutter of having that work cover up the fridge. I had to learn how to deal with clutter when I had my kids and be good with it because kids are going to be kids and they're going to be messy. Now, some artists embrace the messiness in their workspaces in order to find their inspiration and not get bogged down with everyday things that just don't matter. For me, I like a neat studio myself. But I let it get messy and have a few projects going on at the same time. And when I run out of steam, that's when I clean up my area and find things that I was working on and then go ahead and restart them. Now, if I took my parents' view of clutter, then I would miss out on the art that my kids make. My stepson, he loves the paintings that my girls make because he sees something in the work that I may not see. So he collects those works that speak to him. And my girls love it when he does this. It gives them a sense of pride that their older sibling thinks their work is worth saving and preserving. And I truly believe we all have that inner spark that causes creativity if we're open to it. Now, let's look at a few articles on this topic to get another perspective. Aileen Dawson from the LA Times gives 13 ways to spark your inner creative. Naturally, the links are going to be provided in the show notes. A few of the ideas I really liked were to find what you're good at, find a reverse mentor, and battling procrastination epically. Now let's unpack these three ideas. Finding out what you're good at is done through trial and error. You need to realize what you can and cannot do, and maybe more importantly, what you enjoy doing versus what you don't enjoy doing. You also need to get real with yourself about what you're wanting to do. Is this going to be a hobby? Maybe it's a side hustle, or are you going to make this your life's work and main source of income? I love knitting my kids' babies' blankets before they were born, and I used it as therapy for recovering from carpal tunnel surgery on both wrists. Recently, I tried to start another blanket farm, and I just couldn't do it for the life of me because I wasn't interested in doing it. It's not that I'm not interested in my kids. It's just knitting a blanket was just not, you know, the top thing on my priority list. I knew that I wasn't a great knitter or a patient one. Luckily, my wife is more of that vein than I am. So she took it upon herself and made new blankets. It's not that I love my children less. I just know that it's going to be a chore for me, and I actually lack the ability to sit there for hours on end and make one blanket. I like things that don't take a whole lot of time. Now, on the other hand, I did do a paint-by-numbers kit for my wife, and it took a few days to knock it out, and I do feel a certain satisfaction from completing it, and it hangs on our wall in the living room and has a place of honor, and I love looking at it, and I'd like to do some for my kids as well. It takes time, but that process I enjoy more than knitting. It's a little bit more instant gratification. Now, the second point that I really liked in the article was finding a reverse mentor, and it really piqued my interest. Is I'm always looking for older mentors to give me ideas or examples or guidance to help out my practice. But if I take advice from somebody with less experience than I have, or maybe somebody that's younger than I am, I might be surprised at the answers and ideas that I receive from them. Now, I do plan to make use of that idea in my practice, and in a way, I do utilize it. Because of the people I know in the art world usually are younger than I am and are making a go of it because they have less responsibilities than I have. You know, maybe I'm younger than you even. That doesn't mean I don't have valid ideas. It just is a matter of timing. So give this a shot and let me know what works for you. I'm going to be more mindful of it in adding that to my practice and my work. Now, the last point, I think I could do a whole podcast on battling procrastination, and I'm guilty of suffering from procrastination. There are good times to hold off on a project, and there are times when we're just being lazy and finding an excuse not to start up. We feed that procrastination monster with excuses every time. But if we are aware of our shortcoming and try our best not to feed that beast, we'll get the work done. By making sure we are honest with why we are holding back from completing a project, can we look at our process and see what needs to be changed? Oftentimes, if we get through the hard part of a project and then do the easy aspects, we can get the work done quicker and with more energy. Now, in the article that I read, it says to treat procrastination as resistance to what you want to do. You're better off fighting that procrastination versus succumbing to it. Treat your procrastination like an obstacle to overcome and realize when it's happening so you can win out in the end. Now, the next article I looked at was from Ivan Suba, and it was titled, Why Are Kids More Creative Than Adults? In his blog post on dandelionphone.com. He describes six ways that kids are more creative, and I'd like to touch on just a few. Now, first, kids believe every problem can be solved. Think about it. Yes, it may be an immature viewpoint, but when you think everything can be solved, you're more likely to try and see what works. You're not limiting yourself, and you believe in your skills to solve the problem in your artistic discipline. Isn't that a better way to think of your talents versus just giving up before you even start? Another idea that was brought up is vulnerability is high and fear of rejection is low. Kids don't fail if they try. The only time they fail is when they don't try. Think of the projects you stopped yourself from doing because you didn't think you could do it. I know I'm guilty of that, especially with watercolor painting. I just need to suck it up and do it and then let others judge it. That's for another podcast episode. The last point I really liked is kids surround themselves with creative toys. If you have all the tools you need to complete something, you're more likely to use them and give it a try versus trying to start something but having no tools handy. Yes, I do need to grab some watercolor paints, brushes, and a canvas, as well as a few videos, and go ask some people I know how to start. I'm looking at Tia for this one, and I just need to do it. If you don't have the tools for the project, you won't do the project. Well, that's all I have for this episode. If we have the mind of a child where we cannot fail, think about how much more work we'll get done. Think about how much bolder we would be and how much more accomplished we will be when we drop the mentality that limits our creativity. How do you keep that wild-eyed perspective in your practice? I'd love to know, and I'd love to share it with others who are listening in. If this has given you an idea of how to tap into your creative child, share it with a friend. This is something I'd wager most people struggle with. And you can always reach out to me via email, timothy@createartpodcast.com, or check out the website, createartpodcast.com/merch, where I have all my merch there, books, images that you can take home and put up on your walls. And if you do, take a picture of it and send it to me. Now go out there, spoil that inner child, tame the inner critic, and create more than you consume. Oh, and by the way, go out there and create art for somebody you love, yourself. Until next time.